Grace family, it's good to be here today. Love you guys so much. I might scoot down to be a little closer. Is that all right? All right. Sometimes when I feel far away, it's a little harder for me. I'm a little different kind of guy, but move down here. A little high, but we'll fix that. Well, you know, I think that God is speaking to us this morning. So interesting that we sang, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." Today, I'm going to be talking about some of the components of friendship with Jesus. And then we sing about, man, like, we're prone to wonder, but God, tether us to your goodness. We're going to be talking about that today. And then referenced how Jesus, we're called to love one another as he has loved us. We're going to be talking about that today. And your prayer was so right on, that God would overwhelm us with his presence today. Man, who would want to be overwhelmed by the presence of God today? That would be a good thing. So, man, we're so excited to be here with you guys. Rachel and I, we just celebrated Jamie and Abby's wedding yesterday. And so it's been so fun to see them come together. And now I think they're on their way to Mexico on their honeymoon. So it's been a fun family time for us. And we're doing amazing. Since we're all family, we've got some family news to share. You guys have been praying for us for years. And a little bit of Rachel and I's journey is, for the past 6 years, we've really been on a challenge of fertility. And we have really good news that we are pregnant. Rachel. Yeah. Rachel is 14 weeks today. I'm going to tell you, God is good. Man, past 6 years contending for a promise. How many people in here have contended for a promise over your life? Something you wanted to see God break through. I believe that we're in a time and a season where God, he is the God of breakthrough. And I believe that this morning, if you came and you need breakthrough in your life, I believe God is the God of breakthrough. And I believe today could be a day of breakthrough in your life, not because I'm here, but because Jesus is here, and he's the God of breakthrough. So we're just so excited with what God's doing in our personal lives, but that's probably maybe the most important thing. But I want to share with you guys just a little bit before I get into the message about what we've been seeing God do around the nation, around the nations of the earth. Is that okay? So I just got back from Brazil a few weeks ago, and God is doing absolutely incredible things in South America right now. I mean, they are in real revival, in real awakening. A week before we got down there, 3 million people marched and declared, "Our country belongs to Jesus." That, I mean, can you imagine? 3 million people, 3 million people marching the streets saying, "Our nation belongs to Jesus." So amazing. As some of you guys know, if you've been keeping up with some of our updates, we have, we just got back from living temporarily in Orlando, Florida, where we hosted a stadium gathering called The Send. It was all about sending people to see the Great Commission fulfilled. And we saw 58,000 people gather in Camping World Stadium. And it was an incredible day. This was in February. We saw God reach a ton of people throughout this city initiative. But from Orlando, we decided God is calling us to do this in Brazil. And so we launched the Brazil campaign called The Send with one social media post in Brazil. One social media post. And all of a sudden, the stadium sold out within 6 hours. 80,000 sold out faster than Coldplay sold out the stadium. Faster than U2 sold out the stadium. So you know what that tells me? That the sound of go, the sound of the Great Commission, the sound of Jesus is trending above the sound of the most famous bands in the world. That's good news. Well, not only did one stadium sold out, but we had a waiting list. And we were like, what do we do? So we added another stadium of 40,000, and that sold out. And so now we have a waiting list of over 100,000 people plus two stadiums. How many of you know that today, I believe we are really in a move of God? Like, God is doing tremendous things throughout the world. Sometimes our perception of reality really does dictate our faith levels. And when we find out, just like last week, that there was missionaries here last week, and I'm sure sharing about what God's doing in Russia, Eastern Europe. And as we hear these stories, it grows our faith. You know, I think living throughout history, sometimes it doesn't feel like we're actually living history. Would you guys agree with me? Like, if you're in the middle of a moment, like, who lived in the 70s? Because I surely did not. Okay. Who lived in the 60s? Because I surely did not. All right. Now, there were some historic things that happened in the 60s and 70s, right? And when you were in those moments, it probably just felt like normal life. Am I right? And this is what I'm saying, is I believe that we're living in very significant moments right now. And as we look back on these days, I believe we're going to have even more of a perspective. But what if we could have that perspective now of what God is doing in the earth? And I'm just here to tell you guys nothing but good news. This year on college campuses through our ministry, we saw 41,000 people gather on college campuses in America. Thousands of salvations in America on college and high school campuses. God is moving in our nation. Such good news. I was just in Myanmar last November in Southeast Asia. Used to be one of the most highly persecuted nations right between Iran and North Korea and Saudi Arabia. God is moving in power in Southeast Asia. We saw over 5,000 people give their lives to Jesus at our citywide crusades. I am telling you, Jesus is alive, and he's still doing the same thing he's always done. Man, he's good. So I want to ask you guys, if you would, to turn your Bibles to John chapter 15. We're going to be diving in to a message that I have titled, "The Engine of Missions is Love." If you want to retitle it, you could say, "The Engine of the Church is Love." So we're going to be in John chapter 15. All right. And we're going to start at verse 12. John chapter 15, verse 12. Before we start, I'm going to pray. Jesus, we love you so much. Holy Spirit, we welcome you in this place. We are aware of your presence here today. We know that you dwell in every believer. And you said in your word, where two or three are gathered, I am in the midst, I am in the middle. So right now, all of us, we become aware of your presence here, Jesus. Jesus, we desire for you to minister to our hearts this morning. Holy Spirit, we welcome you. We welcome you to be the teacher this morning. We thank you so much for your word. And we ask this morning that the word would so penetrate our hearts so deeply that it would fall on good soil. And right now we pray, God, that we would receive your words. We wouldn't let them just fall on empty ears, but God, we would receive it in the fullness of what you would speak to us this morning. God, I pray that today would not just be another day, but God, would you mark us with your presence today? Would you mark us with your reality today? Would you mark us with faith today? Would you mark us with love today? So we thank you that you are here, Jesus. And Jesus, you are the spirit of wisdom and revelation. And I pray that today you would unpack love like maybe we've never seen it before. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So here we've got maybe one of the most prolific statements that Jesus ever said. It's quoted so many times. We've known it since Sunday school. But I believe that today we want to dive into the treasure of his word and what he desires from us. Jesus says this in John 15, verse 12. He says, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." Here's the thing. We know that reality. We know that truth. Love one another as I have loved you. And sometimes I think we can get that first part pretty good. Love one another. But sometimes what we need to focus in on is these few words. As I have loved you. Guys, we must know the love of God to become the love of God. We must know how to receive the love of God. We must first know how he has loved us in order to love the world. How are we to love without first knowing his love? And sometimes it can be easy for us to go through the motions of service or the motions of love. But I believe that when Jesus spoke this reality, like think about what it would have been like to have been those early disciples that would have been around Jesus. Think about what it would have been like to be the 12, to be John, to be Andrew, to be Peter, to hear these words come out of Jesus' mouth. Love one another as I have loved you. All of a sudden, I bet they began to reflect upon the ways that Jesus loved them. Can you imagine Peter being an apostle of the church and going into the book of Acts and Jesus has already ascended and he's learning, man, how do I lead these people? How many times I wonder did he reflect on these words that Jesus spoke, as I have loved you. I wonder if he had a little bit more grace for the people who weren't getting it when he remembered the grace that God had for him. As I have loved you. I want to ask you this morning, what's the first thing that comes to your mind when you hear that phrase from the words of Jesus? Love one another as I have loved you. What is your as I have loved you story? What comes to mind? I'm telling you, I believe this morning God wants to highlight those as I have loved you statements to us so that we would live rooted in that reality. Let's keep reading. I love the Word of God. Is the Word of God not the best? Man, sure does help my job. It says this in verse 13. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. This is really, 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 really good news. He doesn't call us servants anymore, but he calls us friends. I'm telling you this morning, if the engine of the church is love, then the fuel is friendship. God, Jesus, is inviting us into the depth of friendship that he shares with the Father. He's inviting us into the depth of friendship and communion that he shares with the Holy Spirit. We have been invited to abide in him. In Jesus' prayer in John 17, I pray that they would become one as the Father and I are one, that they would have an awareness of their oneness in me. I am telling you that this morning, sometimes the enemy wants to have us stuck in a servant-slave mentality. And I'm telling you that God wants to take us to the depths of intimacy and friendship with him, because that's the only thing that can sustain love. Why did Jesus do the things he did? Because he only did what he saw the Father doing. He only said what he heard the Father saying. He didn't move in a way of like, oh yeah, maybe I should just do this, or maybe this is a good idea. No, he moved out of relationship with the Father, and he invites us to do the same thing. And so this is so fun. I'm not saying that we're not going to be servants anymore. We're not going to serve. No, I want to propose something to you that maybe there's even a deeper revelation and understanding of servanthood. And maybe it comes out of friendship. Because he says this, there is no greater love than this. There's no greater love than this than a man laid down his life for his friends. He wasn't obligated. He chose out of love because we were the joy that was set before him. He came out of a servant like, I just got to do this. Like, I'm getting this, and I don't know why. No, he knew why. Because he desires relationship with us. The same relationship that he shared with the Father. And so, here's the thing. Sometimes we can think of that reality of there's no greater love than for a man to lay down his life for his friends and think about Jesus laying his life down for us. But like I said, I believe there's a deeper level of understanding servanthood, which is friendship, which means that we get to lay down our lives for our friend Jesus. Just as he laid down his life for us, we have that same opportunity to lay down our lives for him. Let's keep reading. This is just so good. I love the Bible. It says this right here. He says, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you should go bear fruit and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you so that you will love one another. Now I want you guys, if you would, turn your Bibles to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. We're going to start reading at verse 7. Now I'll go ahead and start reading for the sake of time. It says this in 1 John chapter 4, verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation of our sins. Oh my goodness, what good news. See, here's the deal. In our world today, there are so many definitions of love. I love donuts. Those donuts at that wedding last night were so good. I love tacos. I love Mexican food. I love food. I love my wife. I love My father-in-law. I love God. There's so many definitions of love, but the Bible tells us this. This is love. This is love. The standard of love is this, that God sent his one and only Son into the world so that he might become the propitiation of our sins, that he might become our sin for us, so that we might become the righteousness of God. In this is love. In this is love, that Jesus would come and take every single mark on his back, every single beating, every single bit of rejection from the people that were close to him. In this is love, that he would forgive when people were accusing him and persecuting him. In this is love, that he would empty himself on a cross for me. Like, this is love. Like, the cross is love. Like, I never want to grow used to the cross. I never want to grow used to what he's done for me, because the moment that I forget the gospel is the moment I forget how to love. The moment that I don't have a full view of the cross in my life and understand that I was so far away from God, but God sent his Son to die for me. If the gospel has become a numbness upon our hearts, how will we ever love the way that Jesus loved? We have to have a fresh revelation of the cross. We have to have a fresh impartation and understanding of the love of God. Every morning that we wake up, we begin to recognize, not just in our religious language or in our religious patterns, but in a heartfelt understanding that, oh, because of the cross, because of what you did, if I really believe it, if it's not just a fairy tale, if it's not just made up, if it's not just something that's insignificant to my everyday life, I'm telling you, if Jesus died and rose again, that is the most significant thing that happened in human history. So are we living like it? Are we loving like it? Because he commands us, love one another as I have loved you. Do we have a revelation of his love? Because I believe that this morning, and as we dive into the Word of God, as we dive into community, God wants to give us an even greater understanding of his love, because I'm telling you, his love is wide. His love is high. His love is long. And isn't it so fun to get to explore his love together as a family? Says this in verse 12, for no one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God abides in us and his love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us his Spirit. God is in us. Oh my goodness. And we are in him. Like, the God of heaven and earth decided that he wanted to make his home in you. He decided that it was good that when living stones come together, and when we begin to be aware of his presence and understand the reality of who he is, and we become one in him, it says in John 17 that the world will know that Jesus is who he really is, and that God really did send Jesus to the world because there was a living expression of the body of Christ on the earth. We are the living expression of Jesus on the earth. How will they know if we don't become more and more and more like him? Romans says we have been predestined to be conformed to the image of the Son of God. We are on a journey of not looking more and more and more like the latest fads or trends or the latest preacher or the latest this or that. We are on a journey as the body of Christ to look more and more and more like him. What are we putting our attention to? What are we beholding? Because I'm going to tell you something this morning. You will become what you behold. 1 John chapter 3. Oh, I just want to read it because it's so good. See what kind of love the Father has given to us that we should be called children of God. And so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now. And what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him because we shall see him as he is. And everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself in him because he is pure. I'm going to flip back over to 1 John 4, verse 13. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us because he has given us his Spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. And whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. So we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. I believe this is such an important statement for us this morning. So we have come to know and to believe the love that God has. Have we come to know? And have we come to believe the love that he has for us? Because I know I am prone to wonder. I'm prone to forget about how much he loves me. And I think the greatest thing that the enemy wants to do, he wants to keep us in this trap of condemnation and accusation and to feel like we'll never be enough. If you're hearing this sermon this morning and maybe you're hearing those lies, well, is this all? Like, can I not ever be enough? Am I never good enough? Those are the enemy's lies of accusation. Because God has an invitation into his likeness. It's the Bible. He says, there is no more condemnation in Christ. Oh, he's so good. He is so good. Moses prayed, God, let me see your glory. And he said, I'll let my goodness pass before you. But you better get in the cleft of the rock because you might not be able to fully handle it. What am I saying? I'm saying this. God's glory is his goodness. And we need to be aware as his people that he is really, really, really good. And the highest form of his glory is his love for us. He loves you because he loves you because he loves you because he loves you. I can't wait to be a dad. I'm crying right now thinking about it. You see, like, we can relate to that, yeah. Can relate to the love that we have for our kids. Oh, that God created love because God is love. That love that you have for your child or grandchild, you need to know today. You need to become convinced today. You need to know today that God loves you that way, but yet even more. And why? Because he sent himself, he gave himself. He said, I'm not just gonna pay a ransom fee, but I'm gonna give my whole entire bank account. I'm giving everything to get them back. I am sending my son. This is the definition of love, and this is how much you are loved. We are loved. Oh, it's so refreshing to know that we're loved by God. That he's not like up there, just upset. Man, he's not getting it together. What is he doing? Oh my goodness. No, I'm telling you, I'm not saying we're always right, but I'm saying he has a loving heart. And he's just saying, oh, if they only knew, they only knew how much I wanted to give them. Have you ever wanted to love someone that wouldn't let you love them? You wanted to give someone a gift that wouldn't let you give them the gift. Sometimes the thing that blocks us from receiving the love of God is that we don't think we're worth it. And all I see on the cross is this. Paid in full. Worth it. They're worth it all. They're worth it all. That's the cross. That's what it's telling us. In this is love. That they're worth everything I have. I'm telling you, there is a value on your life, and Jesus said, you're worth it all. We must return to this. We must understand his love for us because, oh my goodness, the enemy doesn't want us to know. He wants to distract us away from it. He wants to question the character of God. He wants us to question the nature of God. I'm telling you, I have gone through the battle of having miscarriages and losing children and losing hope. But I'm telling you, I held on to the goodness of God. And what I understood is that God is good. He's good all the time. And suffering is not derived from God, but it's derived from sin and a broken and fallen world. And my trust is not in my circumstances. My trust is not in my feelings. My trust is in God. And he is good. Why? Because look at how much he gave to get me back. Oh, do you see the love of God? There's something within your own physical body right now that's just beginning to vibrate with the presence of God, with the goodness of God, because this is the truth of God. This is the gospel. The gospel is not just a message that we get to get saved. I'm telling you, the gospel is the only message the church has. The gospel incorporates everything, every page of this Bible. The gospel is everything. It's a story of God redeeming his children and bringing them back into the family of God. I'm wrapping up. It says this. Verse 17, by this is love perfected with us so that we may have confidence by the day of judgment, because as he is, so we are in this world. As he is, so we are in this world. There is no fear in love. You know, God does not have 1 ounce of fear in him. You know, God has never struggled with fear one moment in his life. He's never had the fear of man. He's never had the fear of the future. Not in one moment, because he is perfect love. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment. And whoever fears has not been perfected in love. We love because he has first loved us. I had this moment when I was studying at Liberty. I love God so much with everything I am. And I tell God, God, I love you. God, I love you. God, I love you. I love you so much. I just tell God every day, God, I love you. God, I love you. I'm just straining almost to say it. God, I love you. Don't you know I love you, God? And one day I just hear so clearly impressed upon my heart by the Holy Spirit. Graham, don't you know how much I love you? Then all of a sudden the verse came to me. Cast all your cares upon me because I care greatly for you. You see, I had this perception of God of to be a good Christian. I needed to just continue. I love you, I love you, I love you. But guess what? I had not yet had my understanding of how much he has loved me. How can I love with my own love? I cannot. But if I receive the love of God, if I know the love of God, I can love with his love. Because my love is weak. My love is empty. But his love is eternal. His love never fails. His love never gives up. His love is patient. His love is kind. He is love. I believe this morning that God wants to maybe break off some of the barriers or some of the canopies that maybe just over time have kind of built up over accusation or just over things that you've, man, I don't know if I've actually experienced the love of God in a while. Maybe I just don't even know if like I fully am convinced or do believe that he really loves me, because I'm filled constantly with worry. I'm filled constantly with anxiety. I'm filled with these different things, and I'm not rooted and grounded in the love of God. And I believe that this morning God wants to overwhelm us with his love and let us know this, that he doesn't come this morning with a heavy hand. But he comes with arms wide open, saying, just come back home. It's the story of the prodigal son. It's the story of the older brother and the story of the prodigal son. He was with his father all the time, but he didn't know the access he had. Oh, do we know the access we have to the love of God? Do we know the feast that he's prepared for us and wants to prepare for us if we would just but ask? I just want to invite everybody right now just to bow your heads and close your eyes. And I want to ask just a few questions to reflect on what we've talked about today as we kind of wrap up. If you could hear one word from Jesus today, I want you to raise your hand and say, I would love just to hear one word from God. Is that anybody? Just raise your hand if you want. Man, just one word from God. Who would want to hear a word from God today? Now, I want to ask you another question. What if you could hear a sentence from God? Like, what if right now in that seat, God spoke to you a sentence? Who would want to hear God speak to you this morning? How about a paragraph? All right. Well, he's about to speak because I'm about to read his words, his very words in John chapter 15. These are the words of Jesus. These are his words. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. But if you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. I'm going to ask a few questions this morning. Maybe you feel that this morning you felt this block. You haven't been abiding in the love of God. You haven't truly just experienced the love of God. And you just say, man, God, I just want to know your love. I want to be convinced of your love. If you'd be so real and so bold, I just want you just to raise your hand and say, man, I just want to know the love of God for my life. Right now, just all across the room, nobody's looking, just raise up your hand right now and say, I've got to know the love of God more in my life. I'm telling you right now, God says that in his word, that he meets the humble, right? He rejects the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Grace draws near. So his grace will draw near when we're honest and we're vulnerable. And I believe what God wants to do this morning, he wants to meet you in your vulnerability. He wants to meet you in your honesty. He wants to meet you in your saying, man, I need a touch from the love of God. If that's you, just raise your hands high right now this morning. That question I just asked, I believe there's a few more. They would just say, man, I have not experienced the love of God. I don't know the love of God. I want to know it more. This is not a salvation call. I want to be very clear. This is for us as believers that we need to abide in him. If that's you, would you just lift both your hands right now in the air? Just let me see him. Let me see him. I want to know the love of God more in your life. Now, this is what I want to do. I'm going to pray over you right now. And this might be a little different. I'm just going to ask that God would just break through right now with his truth, with his word. So, Father, right now in Jesus' name, every single person that they feel that they have a cap on experiencing and knowing your love, and they want to know your love more. Father, I pray right now in the name of Jesus that you would literally just dethrone the lies of the enemy, the accusations of the enemy, that I'm not loved, or that we have to live out of a servanthood mentality. That God, we would know that we are loved by you and that we can be friends with you. Father, I pray right now, in Jesus' name, that your love would just pour out over every soul in this room, every person right now, in Jesus' name. God, I pray that your love would come and just fill every heart. And God, that we would know and be convinced of your love, not just by feelings, but by faith and by understanding. But you're a good God, and you love to show us how much you love us with your tangible love. So I pray this morning, God, that love would cast out all fear. I pray right now against the spirit of fear in Jesus' name, where fear has held us back from fully loving, where fear has held us back from fully receiving the love of God. I pray right now in Jesus' name that love would come through right now and break through every barrier. I pray where the spirit of condemnation and accusation has come and said, you'll never be a good enough Christian. You'll never do enough right things. You'll never get it. All those lies, all those words from the enemy, that is not your Father's voice. I pray right now in Jesus' name that the love of the Father would crash in right now and break off every lie of condemnation in this place. In Jesus' name, you have no right here. In the name of Jesus, spirit of condemnation, spirit of religion, you have no room in this place. We only have room for the Holy Spirit. So Holy Spirit, we welcome you in our lives and in our hearts and understanding what we have access to in you. In Jesus' name. God is so good. He loves us so much. This is what I want us to do together. This might be a little different, might be a little different response, but it's okay. I guess I'm going to go really old school. We might go a little liturgical right now. Are you okay with that? I believe in the power of us declaring. Because when we declare truth, we're hearing the word of God. And guess what? The truth sets us free. So what I want to ask you to do is, could we just stand up right now? I want to declare something and then we'll wrap up. I just really believe that there's power in declaring these truths. And we're just going to declare the Bible, okay? Declare this with me. I am loved by my Father in heaven. He's not mad at me. He loves me. He loves me because He sent His Son Jesus to take my place. I know I'm loved. Jesus, help me love as I have been loved. I receive Your love for me. Now I want to just keep asking for everybody just to keep your eyes closed and heads bowed. Now, I want to make one specific call because I really feel this on my heart this morning. I'm going to close. If you have never entered into a relationship with Jesus, I'm telling you it is the best thing that you can ever do. Religion will not save you. But Jesus will. And Jesus came and He died on that cross for you. And He took upon Himself your sin, your brokenness, your wrongs, your rebellion, your attitude, all of that. And He says, if you come to Me, I will give you rest. All who are weary and heavy laden, I will give you rest. Jesus says, if we call upon the name of the Lord, we will be saved. And what that means is that we're putting our trust, we're putting our dependency, not upon us, not upon another, but upon the man, Jesus Christ. And we're saying, God, I recognize that I am a sinner and I need saving. I need rescuing. And this morning, I might have had an encounter with religion. I might have had an encounter with church, but I've never had a saving encounter with Jesus Christ. And this morning, I don't care how old you are or how young you are, if the Holy Spirit is marking your heart and saying, you've actually never fully received Me, but this morning I want to come in because I stand at the door and knock. Would you let Jesus in right now? I want to ask you, if that is you and you know that I have never actually received Jesus, but this morning is my time. The Holy Spirit is burning within your heart right now. And that is you. I want you to raise your hand high in the air. No fear at all, because there is no fear in perfect love. Right now, if that's you, I just want you to slip up your hand. Say, that's me. I want a relationship with Jesus because it is the only thing that will satisfy. If that's you and you're in this place, I just want you to lift your hand right now. Come on. Praise God. I want you to pray this with me in your heart. Let's actually pray this together as a church. A few that raise their hands. And I want to encourage you right now. Be bold about your decision. Do not deny Him here on earth. Be bold about what He's done for you, because He's worth it all. So let's pray this right now. Say this, say, Jesus, as a church, say, Jesus, we believe that You died on that cross for our sin. I ask that You forgive me of every time I've rejected You and relied on my own self. I turned away from my own way of doing things. and I turn to you. Thank you that you are alive. Would you fill me with your life right now? In Jesus' name. Amen. Come on. Praise God. I believe some decisions have been made this morning, but I also believe that God has encountered us with his love and with the truth of his word. What I want to just encourage you in is walk in his love this week. Abide in his love this week. Understand that he lives within you and you within him. Man, that's good news. All right, well, I feel like God is so good.